For those who do have jobs, the rules governing who gets paid overtime may be about to change. The Bush administration wants to revamp the regulations. Labor unions call the plan a stealth attack on the 40-hour work week. The Labor Department and business groups say the old regulations are confusing and out of date. The controversy has many workers wondering what the proposed changes will mean for them. NPR's Kathleen Schalk reports.
The Fair Labor Standards Act of 1938 was a watershed. It gave most Americans the right to be paid time and a half for working more than 40 hours in a week. Today, 8 out of 10 workers still have that right, but certain white-collar workers, professionals, administrators, and executives aren't covered. And not all of them have corner offices or big paychecks.
I'm Connie Burford. I'm a production manager for Lamar's Donuts franchise. Basically, I work anywhere from 45 to 60 hours a week.
Believe it or not, Murford is an executive and not entitled to overtime. She's among the 1.3 million Americans who could benefit from the proposed rule change. It would update a salary test that hasn't kept pace with inflation and would guarantee overtime pay to anyone who makes less than $22,100 per year, according to Wage and Hour Administrator Tammy McCutcheon.
This change is necessary to restore overtime protections to the most vulnerable of workers in America today. Of the 1.3 million workers who gain this guaranteed overtime protection, 55% are women, 41% are minorities, and 69% have a high school education or less.
But union officials say the Bush administration's more intent on breaching existing protections than on buttressing them.
I'm punching out for lunch.
Margaret Cornwall manages the deli department at a gourmet supermarket in McLean, Virginia. Union officials say she's one of 8 million Americans who might have to start working overtime without getting paid for it. Cornwall hates to stay beyond her shift, even though she can earn time and a half for it.
Sometimes even the financial compensation can't make up for what you do to the family.
And currently, she says, the company bends over backwards to avoid paying that premium. But under the proposed rule, Cornwall could be reclassified as an executive, exempt from overtime. Bob Adams, a bakery manager for another grocery store chain, says it's not just managers who will suffer.
If I can be reclassified and forced to work 45 or 50 or 60 hours in a week, those hours are going to come from people who dearly need them, people who are among the lowest paid workers in America, and people who, unless they have a union contract, generally have absolutely nothing in benefits.
Many other workers are afraid they'll be reclassified as professionals. Currently, that category is pretty much limited to doctors, lawyers, scientists, and others who've completed, quote, a prolonged course of specialized intellectual instruction and study. Under the new rules, work experience and military training or a degree from a community college or technical school could suffice. Licensed practical nurse Catherine Fike-Schlocke has a one-year degree and 20 years on the job and earns $12 an hour.
Why pick on us? You know, we're just trying to make a living. You know, why make it harder? People are having trouble enough as it is.
The administrator category would also stretch under the new rules. William Steele's afraid he'd fall into that one. Steele fixes phone lines for Verizon. He used to do it by climbing telephone poles. Now he uses a computer.
We're able to see and pinpoint where most of the problems are coming from, right from where we're sitting at remotely.
Verizon employees work a lot of overtime, restoring service to customers. Some get as much as a third of their income that way. Under the rule change, they're afraid they'll lose that extra pay, particularly if they work in offices and earn at least $65,000 per year. Union lawyer Mark Wilson says they're right to worry.
All the employee would need is to have, quote, a high level of skills and training or merely a position of responsibility. And those two phrases are extremely vague and very helpful for an employer.
Business groups defend the proposed changes, saying they're nowhere near as draconian as the unions claim. They say many employers would continue paying overtime, even if they don't have to, rather than antagonize employees and unions. Lawyers clash over who would lose the right to overtime and who wouldn't. But they can't agree on what the current regulations mean either. And Sandy Boyd of the National Association of Manufacturers says that's a huge problem. She says the decades-long shift from mainly a blue-collar to a white-collar workforce has blurred old lines between workers and managers.
We want to know where that line should be drawn. And if the line's not drawn, what happens is a lot of unnecessary litigation by people who are, in fact, white-collar employees and who end up with a windfall, and that neither benefits lower-level workers nor, frankly, their employers.
Overtime disputes now trigger even more lawsuits than discrimination claims, a trend the Bush administration would like to halt. Congress doesn't have to approve the rule change, but Democratic lawmakers say they'll try to block it. They lost by 3 votes in the House, but they aim to force a vote in the Senate soon. Kathleen Schalk, NPR News, Washington.